Welcome to Are You in the Know, an educational podcast brought to you by the Racine Unified School District. I'm Emily DeBaker, Chief of Staff, and I'm thrilled to be helping keep you in the know of all things RUSD. Consider this the inside scoop to what's happening in our schools. In today's episode, we're celebrating because our hard work is paying off. Our district is seeing the needle move in terms of our academic successes, and every step we take is in the right direction and bringing us closer to our goals. Joining me today to delve into RUSD's latest state report card is our RUSD Superintendent Soren Gajewski, Deputy Chief of Assessment Curriculum and Instruction Janelle Decker, and Cluster 3 Director of Assessment Curriculum and Instruction Joanna Borchert. Thank you all for joining me today.
Happy to be here.
Wonderful to be here with you.
I feel like we need like plastic champagne flutes or some confetti or something because this is definitely a celebratory episode.
I agree.
So let's just kind of dive right into it. And Janelle and Joanna, start off by just sharing with us and our listeners today, what is the state report card? What factors go into it? And why is this such a positive thing for us this year?
So the state report card is something that's required by federal law, that we have to have some sort of system to communicate to the community how our school districts are doing and how the overall state is performing in terms of educational outcomes.
It comes down to it being a state accountability system that takes into account multiple factors, including things like achievement, growth, target groups, and students being on track for graduation. And just gives us an indication of how our schools are doing.
And what have we seen this year?
Great progress. Our most at-risk students made a lot of growth. Overall, all of our third graders made a lot of growth on our state assessment. We have seen our attendance numbers get better. And of course, our graduation rate went up.
Soren, what are some of the positives that you've seen this year?
Like Janelle said, we are seeing our youngest students reach an aptitude of reading that surpasses what we've seen in the past. We've continued to get better over the last few years. The district jumped on board with the science of reading before it was a state discussion. And so we are well into that. And when students can read, they then can access the curricular materials and experiences in the rest of their programming. And so they're learning more about science and social studies and those sorts of things. And we're seeing growth now in those areas as well. Add to that, our state report card considers things like graduation rates, which have improved, and attendance rates, which have improved. And so, you know, it takes there's a saying, it takes a village. You know, it takes all parts of our organization to help to make this happen. It takes our community to make this happen. And when it all is running well together, you see improvements. And we had a number of years where we were not improving, that we were kind of not super happy about what was going on. But we have turned that around. And so I'm very proud of all of the staff in our district, as well as our community that embraces helping our kids reach these new levels. So yes, champagne all around for sure.
You touched on it a little bit, but kind of go into a little bit more detail of some of the things that you attribute to this success. So our focus on early literacy, you know, what exactly does that mean? And some of the things we've been doing at high school to get kids to walk across the stage.
So, you know, and I'll let Janelle can get into some of the more details around the early literacy. But again, we have been involved with the science of reading going back, I don't know, Janelle, 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. As we reviewed the outcomes that our kids are having, we looked at the research, we engaged some consultants that have been very valuable in helping us set up structures for our staff. And then our staff has been terrific in their professional development and their practices. And so supplying them with support through coaching and leadership, we have more and more staff that are feeling confident in the way they teach reading. So those results, that results in our children learning more quickly and reaching higher levels. Then you go into the graduation rate, and it's one thing to have a student graduate, but it's also what are they graduating with? And our high school academies continue to develop as well. And so the students are experiencing more rigorous programming, and they are getting experiences that they want to attend. They want to come to school each day. They want to learn about these various pathways that they can take in their life to consider careers that are gateways to the middle class. And so that is all gelling. We have a long way to go. By no means is this on autopilot. We have a lot of work to do here, but it is great to see the kind of efforts that have been going on for the past several years turn into consistent growth and consistent positive outcomes for our kids.
Along with all of the training and all of the new resources that Act 20 has guided us towards utilizing as a school district. And I'm going to echo what Soren said. Our staff has been phenomenal with staying on pace and getting on board with all of these changes. It's not an easy task to completely change how you've taught reading for your whole career. But even beyond that, we've changed the way that we assess our students, the way that we progress monitor. We're a lot quicker to assess how our students are doing. We created our own internal kind of data tracking system where teachers monthly would be inputting short kind of 1 minute assessments on how our students doing on simple foundational skills like letter sounds, blending those letter sounds together to make words or reading small passages. So how is all of what we're doing in the classroom, how is that showing up on our assessments? And so the teachers have been amazing, really diving in and being diagnostic with our kids as to how are they performing and what do they need to change in order to get that growth in the momentum that we would like to see.
I think big factor to shout out too is our attendance rate. You know, when students are coming to school and they're engaging in their coursework at any level, kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade, we're making gains. And that's a huge shout out to, you know, our parents and our community members and our teachers and our admin that really have rallied around communicating that and making sure that students understand the importance of being in school.
Soren and I have mentioned our teachers, our staff, but I also want to give a shout out to our administrators. They have so much on their plate, like we all do, and they've really focused on becoming more instructional leaders in the area of literacy. When it comes to what assessments students are doing, where the teachers should be, why they're doing what they're doing. So when they go into classrooms, they really understand the types of things that they're seeing, and they can give feedback and work together as a whole team or a cohesive unit really in the primary grades to say, hey, I noticed this happening and maybe I don't see as much of this, and let's all get on the same page to, you know, guarantee that we have the best outcomes that we can. So the principals have been key and they've been great too.
So how does the district use the state report card and the data that you all just talked about to inform decision-making and improvement efforts moving forward?
I guess I can jump in on that one. So the state report card is, in of itself, is a judgment upon various aspects of the outcomes of a school district. The components that make up that ultimate report card, things like graduation rates and our forward test results and the data that comes with it, that's a summative set of data. So it says, you know, after we've done the school year, we've taught our kids for a year, we can reflect back on what they've learned. So it gives us clues. We can look at particular demographic groups, different trends that are going on in different schools, and it can inform us on things to look for going into the upcoming school year. But also, like Janelle said, we have other assessments that are going on more frequently within the school year that help us make those quicker decisions on how to pivot our instruction to students or make changes within the school experience that will make sure that kids are getting the skills that they need, or that they are we are attending to their needs on a more quicker, on a quicker basis. But the report card in itself kind of gives us that final viewpoint of how the year went, and it does lead ourselves to looking towards some of that other data.
The state report card is obviously a wonderful tool in gauging progress and showing growth from year to year, but what are some other ways we measure student success in the district?
Janelle hit on a number of things, you know, when it comes to those smaller, more incremental assessments that students get, whether it's monthly, whether it's quarterly, like happens in more of our middle school math courses and things like that. Those internal metrics really have been the driver to figure out, or help us figure out, where those elements are that students really need some support and to rally around. So we've been really focused on putting those kinds of things in place. And another big thing, and again, a huge shout out to principals especially, is to get into classrooms and see, you know, in real time what students are doing and where they are succeeding and where they're struggling, so that we can make more of those day-to-day sorts of shifts and get students the support that they need in the day-to-day, and not have to wait for those yearly type measures like a school report card.
Ultimately, what we want to see is that our students are successful in getting their lives started. And so the state report card does not necessarily reflect super well what's happening with our students when they leave here. We get some clues on that in the sense that we have kids that are taking college credit classes. We have numerous students and great opportunities here for students to be apprentices in various companies in our area. And so there are indications to celebrate as well that our kids are getting a jump start on going to our technical college here, Gateway, or going to a four-year university, or jumping right into a career like my own son did here through Unified and an apprenticeship, being able to get right in with SC Johnson. When we were younger, you got a diploma and good luck. Hopefully somebody lured you to college or got you going on something. And today we have so many different actions that we take with our students to get them moving into the next part in their life. And I think while that's not reflected super well in the report card, it is something we know internally that we have improved upon greatly. And we look forward to continuing to do that.
So, Soren, you touched a little bit earlier on, obviously, the increase in the state report card and some other measures of growth that we're seeing are super positive for the district, but there's a lot of work to be done. So what are some of the challenges that RUSD faces right now?
There are a lot of challenges, so we'll pick the big ones. We'll pick the biggest one. So we have some great momentum going. And as I said, we have a long ways to go, but you have to start somewhere, and you have to start celebrating your successes early on. And we've had 2 years in a row of state report card growth. We've had more years in a row of graduation rates and some of the other indicators. So we know we have a lot of good things to build upon. Simultaneously, however, as school systems are facing across the entire state, there is a growing gap between the costs and the revenues that we receive. The state determines those revenues. And so since about 2010, we have been decoupled from our revenues have been decoupled from inflation. So we have not been funded even to inflation. And we all know that in the last 5 years, inflation has been historic. And so we're running into a position now where we may not be able to provide the level of supports we need to continue this good momentum that we have. We're just running out of resources to be able to do that. We have made significant cuts over the last couple of years, and we are at a point where we are going to need a further investment in our school system to keep this sort of thing going. So on my mind, top of my mind is, I've got to make sure we can make ends meet. I've got to make sure that our kids have the resources they need. And we can get to discussing improvements in things like curricular materials and assessments and programming, which we are here to, and love to talk about and love to do. But I've got to make sure that the resources are there for our teachers to teach and our kids to learn. And that's at the top of my mind right now. And it's something that we'll be talking more about in the near future.
Is there ways that the community or staff or families could get involved to kind of help that?
Absolutely. First of all, supporting public schools means contacting and making their voices heard to our state legislature. Ultimately, the legislature provides a budget for the governor to sign. And so depending on what is included in those in that biennial budget, that determines the type of resources that we have. And like I said, it has been almost 15 years of underfunding inflationary spending. And so reaching out to your leaders in our state government will make a difference. Additionally, we are going to look to invest, look to our community to help us bridge that gap. And so we're looking at a consideration for a referendum that will allow us to fill that gap over the next 5 years and allow us to stay on course with the momentum that we've been building. And remember, ultimately, the end game is these students build upon their reading and literacy skills. They build upon their experiences at high school, and they become productive citizens that contribute to our community. School systems are investments in communities. So we invest in our school system. In the future, we see the fruits of that in the kind of community that we live in. And I think people need to remember that as they're supporting and looking at what's going on in our public school system. So please support please contact and show support for your child's experience in their public education, as well as pay attention here to RUSD and looking forward to a potential referendum in the future.
On a more micro level, things that families can do to help out the educational journey of their children is to stay involved in the ways that we've set up to communicate with families. Maybe on the elementary level, it might be something small like a Class Dojo account. Make sure that you join there so you can have open dialogue with your teachers and any administrators that you need to. And then utilizing all of the parent features on Infinite Campus. We've really set up some great systems for feedback and grading and just to ensure that you have conversations with your students, that you can see those things and that we need to keep monitoring things, turning in things on time, reassessing if need be to get the greatest grade that they possibly can get. And then finally, just making sure that they come to school. Making sure that they have attendance that is at least 90% of the time we really hope for. What I think a lot of the public doesn't know is that we actually do get downgraded on that state report card for absences. And so, you know, something that might be outside of our control is a little, it's still showing up as how are we doing overall as a school district. So making sure that your kids are prepared, ready to go, and being a part of their educational journey as much as possible.
So since this is a celebratory podcast, we definitely want to end on a celebratory and positive note. So what are some of the things you guys are most excited for this school year?
One of the things I'm most excited about is the number of classrooms that we've been able to get into and really engage with students and teachers just around learning and outcomes. That's not something that we've ever been able to really quantify before. And having that push, especially with our building leaders, has really opened a lot of great conversations in terms of what's going on in classrooms, the quality of instruction, materials use, things like that. And that's really exciting to see.
Well, I'm going to beat Janelle to this one. I continuously look forward to hearing about and seeing the data as well as seeing the classrooms around our youngest readers. It's just, to me, of all the things that we do, when our youngest kids can read and have that foundation, it's very exciting to think about what they are going to do in their futures. I used to be a middle school principal and a middle school teacher, and I know when they come from elementary school and they have that foundation that's strong, middle school is so much more exciting and more learning goes on in that time. And I think everybody knows middle school can be kind of a crazy time for a young kid, but when they come with those skills. So we have year after year of a lot of hard work going into our youngest kids, even at our 4K level. And I'm excited to see how that's turning out this year and how that continues to build over the coming years.
I think I'm most excited to continue to build on science of reading and going into some of our secondary grades. I think a lot of people mistake science of reading for just phonics or foundational skills and just in reading. But writing is a reciprocal process of reading. So I'm looking forward to and enjoying right now a lot of work that we have going in terms of writing and how we are monitoring that and teaching that. We have a new adoption in our middle schools. We're getting more focused in our high schools with a new adoption. So I like to see that we're expanding and hitting all the areas of science of reading. And I think that that's going to result in even more growth for our students.
I think building on that momentum when it comes to math too is really important. We were able to, over the last number of years, put in place a new math curricular resource, which has really been wonderful, and start those conversations around, continuing that momentum from literacy and bringing that over into the math side of the house as well. So that's up and coming and really exciting to see where that data can lead us.
Emily, one more thing. Also, I think our listeners probably know, we have remodels and new buildings under construction all over town right now. And that is another thing to be very excited about, seeing some of these that have opened, these new classrooms that are configured for instruction that, you know, for instance, as a former science teacher, some of the science rooms that we are putting in are everything you would ever want. I used to teach science without even running water in my room, and to see the facilities that our kids are going to be learning in now and the ones that we're building over the next couple of years, that's really exciting too, to look at these beautiful buildings and to see the looks on the kids' faces when they come in. That's great. I can't wait to see these as they continue.
A lot to look forward to for sure. Well, I want to thank you all for joining me today and taking the time to chat. We really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. Watch for additional episodes of Are You in the Know coming soon. Hey, Are You in the Know listeners. Now is the time to request your school of choice. Our school choice window for the 25-26 school year is open now through January 15th, 2025. RUSD offers the Academies of Racine, a STEAM school that just so happens to be opening in a brand new building next school year, a fine arts school, Montessori, a dual language program, international baccalaureate programs at all grade levels, college prep programs, advanced career and technical training, advanced placement, D1 sports, extensive extracurricular opportunities, after-school programs, and so much more. Explore your options and apply today at rusd.org/schoolchoice.